Welcome, everyone. I am Michael, your host for Antediluvian Revelations. This is the 10th episode of the 4th edition podcast reading by the poetic retelling of the Book of Enoch, the Prophet. The complete text of this 4th edition is currently available as a free download in PDF format from polyatlotionpubs.com. Be sure to download your free copy of this revelational guide to the future of mankind. In this episode, Enoch's travels take him to more familiar locations on Earth, and he sees the past unfold. The tree of knowledge appears, and it is the fruit of this tree that leads Enoch to know the finality of mankind's existence on the earth with the third vision of the apocalypse. The power of stars falling to the earth by some control Enoch cannot understand becomes a display of lights striking all over the earth with thunderous and destructive impacts. The Book of Enoch was the first text of ancient Hebrew literature that predicts the apocalyptic end of mankind and the advent of Jesus Christ. Get ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Get ready for the apocalypse. Having reached the edge of land, Enoch turned northward, seeing the entrances above more mountains. There he saw seven mountains replete with lavender and cinnamon, and there were many odoriferous trees and types of papyrus. Passing beyond the summits of those mountains eastward to some distant place, far from the Aetherian Sea, advancing far beyond it, Enoch passed along and above the Angel of Mercy, arriving at the Garden of Righteousness. In this garden he saw many large and flourishing trees. Their fragrance was agreeable and powerful, appearing varied and elegant. The tree of knowledge was also there, of which if anyone eats, he becomes endowed with great wisdom and knowledge. This tree was like a species of tamarind tree, bearing pod-like fruit, resembling bunches of grapes in an extremely fine design, appearing duplicitously helical, and having a complex fragrance, detectable to a considerable distance from its origin. Being surprised by the near endlessness of this tree's branches, Enoch exclaimed,
"How beautiful is this tree, and how delightful is its appearance."
Looking over at Enoch, whose fascination with all these sights had become an amusement for all of the watchers, and it was never their purpose for showing him these fates to have some pleasure at the expense of his limited evolution. Raphael determined that he should endeavor to enlighten his ward, and that he might at least relate the meaning of it all to his charge. He turned to Enoch and said,
"This is the tree of knowledge, of which thy ancient father and thy aged mother ate, the first of humanity who were before thee on earth. Upon obtaining knowledge from the consumption of its fruit, their eyes opened with the ingestion of its medicaments, and they knew for the first time of their short lives, since being created whole and fully grown, that they were naked. They were immediately expelled from the Garden of Eden, where first this tree was planted by God Almighty."
Upon hearing these words of detail, which had not been heard or seen before this time to any man, although all know the tale of it just the same, Enoch stepped back a pace to give distance between himself, in reverence of the irreverence that this single tree in all of God's creation represented to mankind. Thank you. endlessly traveling, not needing rest, and never being weary because he was eternal since transfiguration on Mount Sinai, Enoch continued southward toward the extremities of the earth, coming to a land where he saw large beasts different from each other, birds of variousness in their countenances and forms, and singing songs of different sounds and notes as well. Further east of these beasts, he could see the earth's extremities where it ended and heaven began, with the gates of the heavens opening. And while standing there at that southernmost end, he beheld the celestial stars. Enoch numbered them as they proceeded out of a gate, and he wrote them all down, their numbers and their names, as they came out one by one, according to their respective order. He wrote down their names altogether, their times and their seasons, as the angel Uriel, who was with him, pointed them out. Uriel showed all of them to Enoch, and he wrote down their details to account for each of them. Enoch also wrote down, as Uriel instructed, the rules of these luminaries, the names of these stars, their regulations, and their operations. Such as it was that Enoch had settled into his task as scribe for Almighty God, that he began recording in this book the dates of births, lives, and deaths for all of these celestial things as they appeared from the gates of heaven, forming at the extremities of earth, finding their ways to their places, and lighting their destinations. This was Enoch's vision of a time to come, that he continued his adventures with associates aloft above the earth, where he advanced on towards the northern extremities of the planet. There he saw a great and glorious wonder at the farthest reaches of the globe. It was not the Aurora Borealis, though something similar was appearing as some heavenly gates opened, to display all surrounded in a glow, that Enoch might describe it as being distinctly separated as three gates. All of these three gates opened into the heavens, and the northern lights and winds proceeded from them, blowing cold, hail, frost, snow, dew, and rain. These forces of fury blew north over all the earth and over the top of it. From one of the gates, the wind blew mildly in a single effort, the first great wind of a storm brewing over all of the earth, that it might have been intended as a warning, but it did not have that same meaning for the other two gates, who responded with winds of their own. These other two gates blew strongly with great force and violence, being a more masculine strike over the earth. They blew, covering all of the other with their winds, and they covered the whole earth with the falling of ice, hail, snow, and an endless winter of death, desolation, and destruction. As he continued watching all of this happen without a complete understanding of what it all meant and what he was seeing, Enoch observed another three gates open to the west, the same as he had seen open in the north, and all that went out of them were the same forces of fury of equal magnitude and result. Being at the northernmost reaches of the planet, where the furiously cold winds had blown across that pole, Enoch turned again to the south, where he saw three gates open, issuing forth from those were dew, rain, and winds. Staying aloft, Enoch traveled eastward, where three more gates opened to the east, but these had smaller gates within each of them. Through each of these small gates, the stars of heaven passed on, and proceeded towards the west by a path which only they could see. At every period of their appearance, they were seen as bright lights upon impact. When Enoch saw them, he prayed. Every time each of those stars struck, Enoch blessed the Lord of glory, who had made those great and splendid signs, that they might display the magnificence of his works to angels and to the souls of sinners who suffer for their crimes, and that the righteous might glorify all God's works and operations, that all might see the effect of God's power, might glorify the great labor of God's might and wrath, that all might bless him forever by not committing to global thermonuclear warfare at the behest of the beast who comes at that time to force all the world to worship him and believe in science for their salvation when they should repent of pagan idolatry and sexual immorality and worship God Almighty. Finality of his vision, that being the third vision of wisdom, and that wisdom becoming the knowledge of the fate of all nations, Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, and the son of Adam, saw the son of Lamech, who was the son of Methuselah, who was the son of Enoch, build an enormous ship, in enough time before the great flood, a deluge that destroyed the world with water, which was not a vision among any of these first two visions, because these two visions, the first in a place far away from Earth elsewhere in the universe, and the second about the future of Earth and the fate of all mankind upon the planet, the day of God's final judgment, to commence at a secret time, which will become known to all in the telling of this tale. This is the commencement of these words of wisdom, which Enoch received, being tasked to declare and tell to those who dwell upon the Earth. Listen to it all from the beginning, and understand to the end the holy things which he utters in the presence of the Lord of Spirits, that these words travel to the ears of those who come after him, and through the Lord of Spirits all may hear him speak. Let not those who come after this obstruct this wisdom by the ignominious actions of their ignorance, that they ignore this truth until this present time. Never has there been given through the Holy Spirit that which has been received here, this wisdom according to the capability of the scribe's intellect, and according to the pleasure of and as it pleases the Holy Spirit, the truth that Enoch did receive from God, a portion of everlasting life. What must follow this wisdom of ages, the knowledge of the future coming to the present, from someone who said it in the distant past, God having no bounds of time, are three parables that Enoch declared which must become known to all of the inhabitants of the world. All must come to know these truths, the message within these three parables, that all might have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, in a time when there is a greater need among mankind to have more of all these spiritual gifts, as well as faith, hope, and love. this concludes episode 10 of Antediluvian Revelations, a poetic retelling of the Book of Enoch, the Prophet. This episode presented subsegments 7 through 12 of Part 1, Canto 5, from the 4th edition. All the music selections used in these podcasts come from YouTube's content creator resources, and all tracks are copyright-free for content creators who publish their works on YouTube. This audio podcast series is available for free on all of your favorite audio platforms or on YouTube in the Polyet Loggia Publishing YouTube channel. For having seen the end of all things, Enoch must now learn even more and present three parables for a future generation to decipher so that there might be someone to survive or at least warn others about the death and destruction that will occur. This episode ends the presentation of Part 1. Part 2 will be the presentation of the three parables, and it will also be in 5 cantos and a total of 10 more episodes. Part 2 will have a new musical score for the introduction and closing, and more musical artists will be featured in the continuation of this podcast reading. Be sure to subscribe for notifications to the next release. Thank you for listening. I am Michael.